It's good to be saved, amen. I'd like for you to take your Bibles and turn the book of Galatians with me. Galatians chapter 6. I'm thankful for my pastor, amen. Yes, he's my daddy, but he's my pastor. And I'm thankful for him giving me the opportunity to preach God's word. I don't take it lightly. It's the highlight of my life is preaching the Bible. I'm thankful for the opportunity. But I sure am thankful that he's with me through the storm, amen, as the brothers sang, till the storm passes over. I've heard the devil whisper, but I sure am glad that I've heard God's voice as well. As Miss Kelly sang about God's voice, what a blessing that is. What a blessing that he would even speak to us, and I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful he wrote us not just a book, but a library, amen? A library of 66 wonderful books. If you're in Galatians chapter 6, say amen. Thankful for the breeze outside as well, and get some of that going, amen. So I'm about to get to sweating already, I haven't got to preaching yet, amen. Galatians chapter 6, would you look at verse number 9 with me? Let's read it together. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. That'd be a good life's verse. Verse number 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. Amen. Especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Ye see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh. I want you to notice the first part of this verse tonight. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I am to the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. From henceforth let no man trouble me. For I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. I know you've already prayed, but I'd like to pray because I need to pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, I pray that you bless now the reading of your word, that you bless now the preaching of your word, that you'd help me as your vessel, Lord. I can't do this on my own. I realize that. Lord, if I see myself an inch above the ground, I see myself an inch too high. And I pray, God, right now that you'd empty me of myself, that you'd cleanse me of my sin, that you'd fill me with your spirit. God, if you've chosen me as the vessel for this hour, I don't understand why, but I ask you, Lord, to use me, to preach through me. Help it not to be me preaching, but help it to be you preaching. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Bless now these next few minutes. Amen. We find here in the book of Galatians an interesting passage of scripture I love with all my heart because I'm thankful for the cross. Amen. I'm thankful for the cross. And I want you, ladies and gentlemen, tonight to take a look at the cross, the emblem behind me. What does that really mean? We're going to talk about that a little bit tonight. But I want you to have that cross on that hill in your mind as I'm preaching. Would you please? But I want to get into the message real quick. But before I get into the message, for sake of the message, I want to give a little bit of background, if I could, of this book and why Paul is writing and who he's writing to and where he's coming from. We know that Paul is writing this to the church of Galatia. He wrote this about AD 58. And that we find two times in the book of Acts where Paul had visited Galatia and he had preached God's word and God had blessed and God had started a church there in Galatia. But after Paul left Galatia, false teachers and false preachers came down from Jerusalem and began to wreak havoc with these false teachings and with these false preachings. They would mix, listen to me now, this is big, you got to understand where Paul's coming from. They would mix Jewish tradition with New Testament Christianity. And they would say things like salvation depended not only on the Lord Jesus Christ, but also in abiding by Jewish law. They would say things like sanctification or leading a separate Christian life required keeping of the Jewish law with the help of the Holy Spirit. See, they didn't throw it all out, but what the devil did and what he likes to do, what the devil likes to do, he likes to take good things and make them slightly bad and therefore destroy it. He doesn't totally just, the devil does not have a pitchfork that he throws at you. No, no, no. He comes as an angel of light. And what he did, it was kind of like this, like a rainbow of lies with one strand of truth in the middle. That's all it was. It was full of lies. That's how the devil works. He'll make it look good like a rainbow. He'll make it look good like that. He was lying through those people. And they were wreaking havoc in the church. And they come to this question. As Paul is blind, his eyes are dimming. He's getting older. And his health is waning. And we saw there, he said, I'll write this with my own hand. Because listen to me now, he came to a very important question that he was addressing. The question of what does it really mean to be saved? What does the cross really mean? What does the crucifixion and resurrection and the gospel of Jesus Christ really mean for the modern day Christian? These Jewish people are preaching some traditions and they're preaching some things that were confusing the people of God. And today we see that going on in America today. And this can be likened to me and you today. And Paul, you got to understand Paul's background. He was a Jew of the Jews. He was the man in the Jewish system. Listen now, he was born in the Jewish system. He was raised in the Jewish system. He was circumcised on the eighth day like the Jews were. He didn't eat this on that day. He ate that on that. He did all that stuff. And he said, I've been there. And I know you want to brag about that. You want to brag about your circumcision. You want to brag about your actions and what you've done. He said, but I'm going to brag about one thing. Cross. I glory in the cross. Let me preach for a while. God helping me on glorying in the cross. Amen. You see, a lot of people out there, they want to brag about what they're doing. You know, you can brag as a Christian. You just got to make sure you got the right motive behind that bragging and make sure you're bragging about the right person. Amen. But don't brag on yourself because yourself going to fail. Brag on the one that hung on that. He ain't never going to fail. Amen. And that's what Paul is saying. He's saying they don't even keep what they're saying that they don't even keep it. It's a total fleshly thing. Total flesh. He said, you're supposed to be spiritual glory in the cross. You see out there, they're glorying. There's a lot of glorying going on out there. They're glorying in their booze and their alcohol and their premarital sex. They're glorying in their atheism and their homosexual agenda. They're glorying in all that mess and they're glorying in postmodernism and all this stuff we see that's taken our country by storm and they're glorying in it. But Christian, you can glory in something far greater than all that. You can take refuge in the cross. Would you take a look at the blessed cross? Take a look at it. When's the last time you looked at the cross? Oh, it speaks mercy to me. It speaks power to me. It speaks hope to me. Amen. I'm thankful for the cross. And you know, you can pray to your mama who used to be your mama, but now is a cow, and think you can put your glory in that. They're trying to burn the sins out of their hands. They're trying to find something, and the Jews were saying, do this, do that, do this, do that. It ain't just Jesus. You don't need just Jesus. You don't need just the cross. Do this, do that. And by the way, I don't care what Miss Carrie Underwood says or Mr. Happy Happy Robertson says, you can jump in that water as much as you want, but there ain't nothing going to take you to heaven but the blood of Christ. There ain't nothing going to take you to heaven but the cross. There ain't nothing going to take you to heaven but the gospel. Amen. I don't care. There ain't nothing in that water but bugs, honey. There ain't nothing in that water, but there is something in the blood. Somebody help me preach. I said, there's something in the blood. There's nothing in the water, but there's something in the blood. He was saying, there's nothing in the circumcision. There's nothing in your deeds. There's nothing in your works, but oh, there's something in the cross. Amen. But why would we glory in the cross? Number one, notice its power. The power of the cross. Let's look at the verse, if you would. Verse and number 14. By whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Amen. What a statement. What a statement. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians real quick. 1 Corinthians 1:18. I'm going to read it as soon as I get there. If you're not there, it's all right. 1 Corinthians 1:18. The power of the cross. So the cross is a dynamic thing. And that word dynamic comes from the word dynamite. There's some power in that cross. Look, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18 with me. For the preaching of the what? Cross. Is to them that perish fullness, but unto us which are saved, it is the what? Power of God. Wow. There's some power in that cross. You see, it's not just two pieces of rough timber on a hill. Oh no, it's not just an emblem of formality, ladies and gentlemen. Though many blaspheme and despise, though it's ancient, it abides. A shroud of death that speaks of life to me. And Paul is saying, here's the power of the cross. First of all, it is recreation. The cross is the only thing, Jesus is the only person that can take you and change you. Amen. Now listen to me, he's not just a judge. We got judges. He's a judge that will change your heart. That's big. That's big because you see a criminal, they seek out judges. We want a judge. He can give me a pardon. I want that. I want that judge. But what about a judge that can change that criminal from being a criminal? There's your judge. Oh, he'd be a popular. By the way, he was a pretty popular guy. Yeah, because he can change your heart. All the power. Take a look at the cross, ladies and gentlemen. The cross changes people. You hear what I'm saying? There's nothing else that can do that. That's individually the cross in Jesus that takes a heart and changes it, makes it new. Paul said, "For I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God." The cross has done something to me. Oh, when I got to Calvary's Hill, ladies and gentlemen, you can't leave Jesus the same. Notice if you read in the book of Matthew, in the book of Mark, Luke, and about the birth of Jesus Christ, if you're reading those in the Gospels, you'll see every single person that came to baby Jesus that day left changed.
Amen.
You can't go to Calvary without leaving changed. He'll make it a new creature. It comes from the word metamorpho. We get that word metamorphosis from that word. We liken that word to a caterpillar. What does a caterpillar do? It goes in a cocoon. It dies in that cocoon. But it comes out a butterfly. That's what Jesus did to your wretched soul. Amen. You know how he did it? Through the cross. You mean to tell me? I used to be a wicked old caterpillar. Amen. I used to be a wicked old fleshly caterpillar. But now, I may not look like it, but I'm a beautiful butterfly. Amen. Spirit's on the inside. On the inside, I'm going to spend a lot of God need to say on the inside, amen. On the inside, I'm a beautiful butterfly. What a blessing. What a blessing to think that even though to the world I may look old, or I may look, I got pimples, or I got problems, everybody, even to the world I may not look all that good, but to Jesus, I'm a butterfly, amen. We all come along in different colors, amen. We all come in different colors, and each one of you are one of his trophies. He claimed you at the cross. He claimed you at the cross.
That's good.
God said, "Jesus, go and die." Jesus said, "What do I get in this? You get sold." And each one of you are up on a shelf in heaven, and Jesus goes by and does it every day, and he kisses each one. Each one of you. Each one of you. Amen. Each one of you, including me, are beautiful in his eyes. What a blessing. That's the cross of Christ. That's what the cross does. It's the only thing that can take you and change you. Change you completely and totally. Paul said, "There used to be some things I did that I don't do anymore." Some of y'all can say that tonight. "There used to be some things I like to do I don't like to do anymore, Brother Ray. There used to be some things that I didn't like to do that I love to do now." Who does that? Who makes a criminal not want to be a criminal anymore? Jesus. The cross. Because that criminal, if he gets a good look at the cross, he'll go away changed. Recreated. Changed. Born again. That's what that means. Born again. You're born new. Paul said, what is that? What's in that verse? I'm crucified with Christ. What does that say? He's saying, my flesh is dead. I'm dead to that stuff, but alive unto him.
Amen.
That's how a Christian is supposed to live their life.
Amen.
Dead to everything else, but alive to God.
Amen.
We're supposed to die each day. Each day die so you can live for God. Live a born again lifestyle, recreated lifestyle. We're missing that today. We're missing that. Nicodemus was what? He was a Jew, wrapped up in those rigid regulations and laws. And he came to the rabbi Jesus that night and said, "What is this you're preaching? What do I do?" He said, "Nicodemus, you're missing it all, buddy. You've got to be born again. You've got to get made new. You've got to get changed completely and totally. Why is little punk Austin Payton preaching God's word tonight? It ain't because of Austin Payton. And I hate to say it, it ain't because of Dallas Payton. It ain't because of Cindy Payton. That's why I'm still doing it. It ain't because of Danielle Payton. It ain't because of Mama and Papa. It ain't because of anybody else. It's because one day, just like Jacob did, I got face to face with a mighty God. He gave me a look at the cross and said, I'm giving you something new to do. Amen. I'm changing your motives, and only he can do that. What a blessing. You see, Daddy, I cannot get through this only on you. I can't do this thing only on Mama and Papa's testimony. I can't do this thing because Billy Sunday did this. I got to do this because God wants me to do it. And you see, Christians stay Christians and stay living like Christians if they get face to face with Almighty God. And notice this. If you go to Genesis 32, I feel a preaching storm coming on right about now. I love the story. My back's hurting. I don't know why. But if you go to Genesis chapter 32, I'm preaching hard. Jacob goes to Peniel. He gets face to face with a mighty God. Amen. What happens to Jacob when he gets face to face with God? He goes away with a new name. He gets changed. God's in the life changing business. If you're not recreated tonight, you need to get in on that thing. Get in on it. John 1, 12 through 14 says this. I sure am thankful for the cross tonight. Take a look at the cross. Look at its glory. Look at its power. Oh, it's so powerful, ladies and gentlemen. It is as powerful as it gets. In John 1, verse 12, says this. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, born of what? Of God. That is born again. That is recreation. Notice what else the cross does for us. Redemption. Redemption. If you look at Colossians at verse number 2, you'll find that God is talking about a bond being canceled. Now, we were all born bound by sin. Amen. We believe that, right? I'm not a sinner because I sin. I sin because I'm a sinner. Listen to me. You missed that. I'm not a sinner because I sin. I sin because I'm a sinner. Amen. We believe that. So at a point in time in our life, a bond that we were bound to by sin had to be canceled. Notice this verse, Colossians 2, verse 13. You being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the what? The cross. You see what Jesus hanging on that cross? Well, that wasn't just something he just wanted to do, which he wanted to do it that way. He didn't just do that just to do that. That wasn't just something that he said, I'm just going to go die today. No. When Jesus was nailed to the cross, he had such a purpose behind that. And when he was nailed to that cross, he was nailed to cancel, put your name there, bond of sin. Oh, the cross. Would you take a look at it? Take a look at it. The reason your life has been blessed, it would not be blessed if it wasn't for the cross. Glory and nothing else. I say boast. That word glory actually means to boast in a good or bad sense. Bad sense in the flesh. Good sense in the what? The cross. Boast about Jesus. Oh, brag on Jesus. Oh, glory in the cross. Right. Somebody needs to decide, I ain't going to brag about me. I'm going to brag about the cross. Right. Live a life that just glories in the cross. I can't glory in anything but the cross. I'm glad my bond is canceled and I've been bought back from sin. But not only have I been bought back from sin, redeemed, I've been reconciled to God.
That's good.
See, you can't just be brought out of something. See, this is what we do, young people. We tell you not to listen to stuff and we don't give you anything to listen to. That's why a lot of them are still listening to stuff. We tell you lifestyles to come out of, we don't give you anything to do. This Bible never does that. Not one time.
Right.
It always leaves you with something to do.
It
always leaves you with something to do. You know what? I'm tired of this yellow belly Christianity. I'm tired of this mediocre Christianity. I said, Dad, tonight, I don't even wish I could preach. I wish I could get a 15-second clip of hell, play it on the big screen, and go to the house. It'd be the best sermon that could be preached. We've lost our boldness. We've lost our fire. We've lost our fervency. We've lost it all. Where are the Christians that will live a life for God? Not only are we redeemed, but we're living like we're reconciled with him. It's like this. There's a mommy and daddy and they have a son. The son rebels. The mommy gets sick. The son refuses to come the first 3 hospital visits. She's about to die. She's on her deathbed. She hasn't said a word in weeks. He says, I better go see my mom. He goes to see the mom. It's a simple illustration. He goes to see the mom. The dad stares across her body laying there, close to lifeless, with tears running down his face, looking at his son he hadn't seen in years. And his son won't even look him in the eyes because he knows he's wrong. Finally, he breaks, and tears begin to fill his eyes. He looks up, looks at his father right in the face, and the mommy, with her last ebbing strength, reaches over and grabs the son, reaches over and grabs the dad and says, come together. You see, ladies and gentlemen, I believe on that cross that day, God help me. I believe on that cross that day that Jesus reached over and he had us in one hand. He had Austin Payton in one hand and he had his father in the other hand. And he said, come together. And though God had to turn his face that day, he didn't turn his face because he was looking at Jesus and his righteousness and his beauty and his holiness, but he turned his face that day on what we would call the offense of the cross, the shame of the cross. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we may be made the righteousness of God in Him. That's what I'm talking about. God turned away because He couldn't look at me and you. He didn't turn away because He couldn't. Oh, would you look at the cross today? Don't listen to me. Just listen to God. He didn't look away because He had to look away from Jesus and His majesty and His righteousness and His beauty and His holiness. But He looked away because He literally became sin that day.
Amen.
What a deed.
Amen.
What a Savior. Only He could do that. Only my Jesus could do that. So I get a chance to preach. What am I going to preach? I'm going to preach the cross. Oh, if this seems dull to you, you need to go home and talk to Him for a while.
That's right.
I said, if this is dull to you, you need to go. I ain't Joel Osteen here to tickle you. I'm here to tell you there's a Savior that died and bled for you.
Right.
And if you can't glory in that, you need to just sit here for a while and take a look till you can. Because God needs to do a work in your life. I tell you what, every time I hear the cross, every time I even see a cross, I think, glory to God. By the way, it's not something that some tattooed up drunk hangs around his neck and thinks he's saved either. Amen? Glory to God. It's something that, I talked about that recreation, that's why. If you deserve, by the way, a man ought not be wearing necklaces. Amen? I'll preach on necklaces. My daddy taught me boys ain't supposed to be wearing jewelry. Amen? By the way, boys are supposed to be, but here I go on a rabbit. Boys are supposed to be boys and girls are supposed to be girls. Amen? Thank my father for teaching that. He got that from that father. And from that book. Amen. Amen. You don't wear that cross to live in unholy. No. That's not the cross. The cross took you out of that mess. Don't wear it around your neck like it's an ornament. Oh, I'm wearing this so I'm saved. That's what Paul's preaching against. Amen. I'm glad I'm redeemed. I'm reconciled. Number two. Here's the heaviest point. The person of the cross. We got the power of the cross. Recreates us, redeems us, reconciles us. What a blessing. But notice the person of the cross. And take your King James Bible, amen, and turn to Philippians chapter 2 with me. I'm going to be here for a while, probably till about 1 in the morning, all right? It'll be all right with you. Amen, I got an amen. My uncle, Uncle Cameron just loves me, that's why. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross.
Amen.
You know, when I look at that cross, I don't see just an emblem. I don't see just two pieces of tree on a hill. No. I see so much more than that. I see a Savior. A Savior with letter A, a sub-point, a distinct purpose. We see that. Let's read it again. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You see, ladies and gentlemen, he came for one reason, to die. I believe with all my heart, that when Jesus came as a little baby in the manger, that Mary and Joseph began to wonder, what is he looking at? And his head was turned toward Jerusalem. Because he was looking for that cross. He was already looking that way. Because, you see, we all look at Jesus like he just had to do that. He did not have to do that. He's a person, God's person. Believe that. He made a choice in heaven. He said, God, I will. He volunteered. He is selfless and submissive and servant's mind. We see that in his life. Amen? And that selfless mind said, in all my majesty, in all my righteousness, he builds up out of pure gold, rivers of life, stuff that we can't even imagine in glory. At the right hand of the Father, in all my purity, in all my majesty, in my holiness, all go be born where the donkey is. That's lower than me and you. That's what the Savior did. That's what the King of the universe did. Yeah. You see, I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, the reason that for us thousands crucified are going to be thousands. You only remember one. Two, Peter, because he was crucified upside down. He was a man of God. You only remember one. Why? Because it wasn't just anybody on that cross.
Right.
It was somebody who came to die on that cross.
Right.
It was God wrapped up in flesh,
right,
made in the fashion of man, but God in all his glory, all his holiness, and all his righteousness, he didn't take off any of that.
He just put on flesh. See? 100% God, 100% man. He had to do it on God's law term. In other words, he said, prince of this world is the devil. Prince of this world, I'm going to go down on your world. I'm going to kick your tail in by not giving in to temptation. And then, just like it was prophesied in Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 15, I'm going to crush that little head with my heel. And guess why I'm going to do that? Right here. You see, it wasn't just Jesus dying. You know what Jesus was doing spiritually? He walked over to the devil and that brains. Everybody like to kill a snake? That's what Jesus did. You know what he did? He did it with the cross. Just like Satan took the gates of God 40 miles and set them up. Took them 40 miles. That's a tough guy. 40 miles. He was a real Superman. He grabbed those gates, picked them up, took them 40 miles. My Jesus. Grabbed the gates of eternal life, took them up Calvary's Hill, planted on that hill, died on that cross, and made a way for me. No, I'm the way. I am the way. No man comes to the Father but by me. And Samson taking that gate up of that 40 miles is a picture of Jesus taking that gate of Calvary's Hill. You see, in the volume of the book, it is written again. That whole book is about the cross. All 66 of them about the cross. Isaiah said in Isaiah 53, he was bruised for our iniquities. He was. What are you talking about? That's like 1,000 years before he even came. That's what Isaiah is going to happen. Because Isaiah understood something about God I'd like for you to understand. He is so divinely perfect. By divine, I mean he was God. Read the rest of that passage with me. Philippians 2. Look at verse and number 9. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in earth, of things on earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So not only have a distinct purpose, but he was divinely perfect. He was God. He wasn't just Jesus. I was talking books over here with my mom. We looked over at a book and said, how Jesus became God. I said, that's it. God did it. God said, I exalted. Because I'm the only one that can do that, so I did it. You see, the only one who had enough merit to save your soul was God. So God had said, God, do it. And he did. And that's what Jesus was. That's who Jesus was. And that's what Jesus did. That's the cross. Do you see? Are you starting to see its beauty a little bit more tonight? Are you starting to see it's beautiful not because it's a piece of wood, but because who was on it?
Right.
My Savior, my Jesus, was crucified for me. Divinely perfect. He looked at the Pharisees without me. He looked at him and he said, I'm just going to bust this on you right here. Well, before Abraham was, I am.
Yeah. Amen.
Was and wait. I learned enough to appreciate that. That's better. Because, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus is God. And he said, you only see this thing as past, present, and future. You see, my Father is outside of this thing. He's got the past in one hand, future in the other hand. He's got one hand underneath the present. He sees it all. At one time. That blew your mind. He didn't let you get that. But that's who he is. And Jesus said, he had so much love for him. He said, before you ever was, I am. Who didn't know you were talking to? Because he knew that those Jews loved somebody by the name of Moses. And they knew that the one who sent Moses was the I am. That I am.
Yes.
He said, you know what he said? Who do you think gave Moses his orders? No, I'm blessed. He is God. A girl from Muslim says, Jesus is God. Hang on, I talked to him. He's God. I've read about him. He's God. I've watched him save your soul. I've watched him save souls. I've watched him do my. I'm 19, only been saved for 14 years. That ain't long. That ain't long, but a lot of you. Only been preaching 2 years. I've seen God do things that blow your mind. Watch him. He's never let me down by my deed. I know one day I won't have to think about the day. Oh, Jesus. You see him on that cross? What a selfless person. He knew Judas was going to betray him. How did he get him back? Wash his feet. It's a lesson for me. Well, you know, Paul's saying, let this mind be. You be like me. That's the Paul of Christian. Little cross. Be like Jesus. Yeah, well, Jesus is our cousin. You'd be in better shape.
Right.
Amen. Wash your feet. Wow, I ain't washing nobody's hand. Hey. Wash his feet. That's God. That's Jesus. Wow. I sure and thankful that it wasn't just anybody on that cross.
Paul didn't die for me. Peter didn't die for me. But somebody with a distinct purpose. Somebody that was divinely perfect died for me. He became sin who knew no sin. That was a requirement. He had to be spotless. And he was. What a blessing. What a blessing. Notice this. The perspective from the cross. We talked about the power of the cross. We talked about the person of the cross. Now I want you to notice the perspective from the cross. Would you look in Galatians 6 again with me? Turn back over there. And I'm almost done. What a cross. I'm thankful for the cross, aren't you? Do you see it a little brighter tonight? Has it been a while since you've looked at it? We're in Galatians 6. Would you look at verse and number 16 with me? It's probably confused some people. It confused me when I first read it. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy, and upon the, I want you to notice that statement, the Israel of God. Now that's a weird statement. We're used to hearing this, the God of Israel, right? But what God is saying is, he's talking about every single believer, Jew and Gentile alike, the Israel of God. The word Israel means a prince with God, a prince with him. He's saying the cross did all this for you, and it was Jesus on the cross, like we've talked about. But the cross gave you a certain standing with God that only the cross could stamp on you. You see, when Jesus in heaven took that stamp and cross shape and stamped it in his blood on your account, you became so much more than you even know. You see, this plan, oh my goodness, this plan of salvation, sure, it's simple to understand. But this plan of salvation, long before Adam and Eve, long before God ever took up the dust of the ground and breathed in the man the breath of life, long before Moses ever led the children out of Israel, long before Noah ever built the ark, long before Joshua ever fought the battles of Jericho, long before Gideon ever laid the fleece out, long before Isaiah ever prophesied of the crucifixion, long before Jeremiah became a weeping prophet, long before Daniel prayed three times a day and was breaking the lion's den, long before Jonah was swallowed by a whale, long before Job was tempted by all that stuff and had all those issues and problems, long before all that happened, God himself looked through the ages and planned that cross to bring you back to him. That's huge. It's so much more than you even know. I can, as a little boy, and he made it so great that it's so simple. As a little boy, I can say, Jesus, I believe you died for me. I'm listening to what you said. Something so great, so powerful, 5 year old boy can understand. There's only one that can do that. God. He is the only one that can do that. And he did more than that. He made me a prince. Prince. That sounds pretty good. Right? A prince with a princess. With. You see, he literally said, devil, no. Bible teaches us what greater love a man than this. Lay down the line. The greatest love of him. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Jesus. That was Jesus. And he gave him a standing by the love. I talk about Genesis 32. You can talk about that now. In Genesis 32, you'll find the state of Jesus. Because Jacob, his name means surpasser. His name. They gave him a name called the secret. He was good at it. He deceived. The dude dressed up in goat skin. He was a deceiver. He was a deceptive man. He was a sinner. And then one day he came face to face with somebody. I mean, he did. And guess what he did? He wrestled with him. Like some of us did. Like some of us still do, though. He wrestled with him. He tried to put God in the physical. He did. But God gave him a couple of hip tosses. But Jacob would not give up. He grasped him like this. But God did something like that. He gave Jacob just a little touch that knocked his hip out of something. He didn't let go. Joker did not let go. Amen. He still wouldn't let go. He said,
I'm not going. You ain't going to do this. What desire? By the way, you say you have a desire, you say first.
Right.
You got to choose to be saved. Oh, that's different. And God looks at him. And he says, oh, bless him. He said it in a weird way by asking a question. He said, what is your name? He just said that. He said, what is your name? He said, but you know who I am. He said, no, tell me who you are. You see, God knows the Lord said he's born in sin. There has to come a point in your life where you tell him who you are. You tell him who you are. Not just to be saved. Every day I gotta get up and tell him who I am. What if Paul said, I'm the chief of sinners? You've got to get up and say, God, I'm Jacob. Make me Israel today.
Good.
Help me to be Israel.
Anyway.
God said, come on, Jacob. When you came to the cross, listen to me. When you came to Calvary, all these things on earth, where? The cross upon which Jesus died is a shelter in which we can hide. And his grace so free is sufficient for me. And deep is the fountain, as wide as the sea. There's room at the cross. Where? For you. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. And I like this. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you.
Amen.
There's room at the cross for everybody out there.
Amen.
Love is free. He gives it freely to everybody. That's what Paul said. You can circumcise on you. You can run and jump through fiery hoops on you. You can have your written regulations and laws on you. By the Lord in the cross.
Amen.
You see, this Christian life is not about living good. It's about allowing the Holy Spirit to work through.
That's right.
You see, this Christian life is not, listen to me, this will help you, help me. It is not about your good deeds. Do you really think you got up married to get? You really think water impresses me? No, he took his hand and scooped out a spot to the Pacific Ocean. You think water impresses him, Miss Carrie? It don't impress him. You know what impresses him?
Trump.
This is my beloved son.
That's right. Amen.
There ain't nothing that impresses me like my Jesus. Amen. And Paul said, just like God, there ain't nothing that impresses me like the cross. Wow. I glory in the cross. Let me ask you a question. Have you been there? Have you been there? And let me give you a charge tonight. You can give it to them every day.
Right.
In his speech, he said, Jesus, live through it.
Yep.
It's not about the amount of good that you can do. It's the amount of obeying him. When you obey him, good, simple side. Come over there. Taking the high road, Dr. Frank Sexton says, is not about choosing the good or the bad. It's about choosing the better or the good. What's he saying? He's saying the good needs to matter in this living God. Live for him. That's the charge the cross gives us. The cross does not leave you empty, ladies and gentlemen. You have, listen, everybody, I was right here. That promise. Listen. He cannot go away from you with that kind of life inside. And I'll give it to somebody. It's as if Charles Spurgeon said, you know, the scripture says, go out and preach the gospel to every creature. Go you and follow the Lord, right? It's as if when Christians have decided to rewrite, tell everybody to come into one room and tell a few to come in. Charles Spurgeon is convicted. Charles Spurgeon said, if a Christian is not a missionary, he's an impostor. And you may not be able to witness with your mouth every day, but you can live it. You don't have to have talent, looks, a nice body, cool hair, or nice clothes to live. Paul was almost crippled and blind for sure, but he was living. He was, but he was living. And we're still talking about it because he lived.
Right.
See, Paul wasn't even so great. He was great. He didn't know. And watched. Cross, you cannot go into the cross. Not live. The decide today, I'm going to live. I'm going to glory in the cross. I'm going to live a life that glories in the cross. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the cross. I know that I mess things up. I don't know things up in my flesh, but I believe you got your word across tonight. And I hope that you charged a Christian. I hope that you convicted a sinner, if there's anyone in here that's lost their lost state. Heavenly Father, I pray that you bless now the invitation.
Amen. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if the Lord spoke to your heart tonight, if you want to come as the pianist starts to play, and we'll ask the Lord to speak to your heart. God was uplifted and glorified because his son was preached about tonight. I'm not going to ask you to stand. You can pray right where you're at. If you want to come and pray at an altar, just come and have a little talk with Jesus. Right where you're at, say, Lord, I sure thank you for the cross. I sure thank you for what you've done for me. Help me to live in light of that. Help me to keep my eyes upon you. Maybe you're discouraged here tonight. Maybe you went through a hard time. Man, you got your eyes off the cross. Will you pray tonight? I wonder if some are coming to pray. I wonder how many lift up your hand and say, preacher, church, Lord. You lift up your hand and say, God spoke to me tonight. And I'd like for somebody to pray. I'd like for y'all to pray for me. God spoke to me in some way tonight. God sees your hand. God sees hands all over this building tonight. Bless your heart. God sees those hands. Whether you raise them or not, God knows your heart. But you'd say, preacher, pray for me. Anybody else? So God spoke to me tonight. Amen. God knows your heart tonight. I think many here tonight are saved. That's an assumption. Some are still coming to pray. But you never know. We have an 8-year-old girl who got saved. She's going to get baptized. Life changing when you realize that there's room at the cross for you, friend. And by the way, Christian, we got to go back to the cross. Don't ever get away from the cross. Don't ever get away. As these are praying, whatever the need may be, why don't you come? And maybe tonight you've had your mind on something besides this message and God's dealt with you about something and you want prayer and want to just see God do that tonight. Get it right with the Lord tonight before you leave. Let's all stand to our feet, please. We'll take our hymn book. What page is it?
Page 9.
Let's turn to page 9. Let's sing at Room at the Cross. How many of y'all glad for the cross tonight? Amen. Don't ever get tired of the cross. There's room at the cross. Page 9. Brother, I also want you to come sing.
The cross upon which Jesus